swells prince may still scout things as he will. Can harm us none, he's judged a deed is done. One little word can fail him. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the with his good gifts and spirit, and take they our Lord, good spent child and wife. Let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. O my God, in you I trust, let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The royal banners forward go, the crushers forth redemption's flow. Where he by whom our flesh was made, our ransom in his flesh was paid. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast to the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for Oculi, the third Sunday in Lent, is written in the eighth chapter of the second book of Moses, commonly called the Exodus, beginning at the 16th verse. Then the Lord said unto Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it might become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff, and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me, or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground upon which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by swarms of flies. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let not the nations be judged before you. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. The epistle lesson is written in the fifth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The gospel is written in the 11th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 14th verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid to waste, and a divided house falls. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast him out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor, in which he trusted, and divides the spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it passes through the waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I have come. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell therein. And the last state of a man is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and cried out, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast from which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord God, we all to thee give praise. Thanksgivings meet to thee we raise. That angel host thou did create around thy glorious throne to wait. Shine with light and heavenly grace, and constantly behold thy face. They heed thy voice, they know it well. In godly wisdom they excel. Sleep as we, their whole delight is but to be with thee, Lord Jesus, and to keep thy little flock, thy lambs and sheep. Come, but watchful is the angel band that follows Christ on every hand to guard his people where they go. And counsel of the firm. For this is now in days to be. Praise, O Lord, rise up to thee with all the angel host. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what do y'all think about miracles? Do you believe in them? I mean, that's the right answer, right? Oh, yeah, I believe in them. I mean, at church, that's the answer we pastors want you to tell us. Oh, I believe in miracles, Pastor. Absolutely, I do. But do we implicitly believe in them? Implicitly. I don't know. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, to believe in miracles? Because in a miracle is by definition an exception, is it not? It's an exception. So we have to ask, how can the discovery of the rule tell whether an exception to the cause is granted or the rule can be suspended? I mean, if we said that, like, the rule was A, I do a little logic class here, if the rule was A, right? Then experience might refute us by discovering that the rule is actually B. If we said that there was no rule, then experience might refute us by discovering that there is a rule. But we are saying neither of these things. What we are saying is that there is a rule, and the rule is B. What has that got to do, though, with the question of whether the rule could be suspended? Well, you reply, but experience shows that it is never the case that it is suspended. It is never suspended. Well, we reply, even if that were so, this would not prove that it never can be suspended. But does experience show that it never has, you might ask? To which I would reply, the world is full of stories of people who say they have experienced miracles. In fact, probably many people, many of us in this room believe that we have experienced miracles. We're in situations where we really don't know how we survived. Or things happened that helped us. But were they miracles? I don't know. Maybe. Right? And there's that problem of progress. Right? Because people would say things like, well, the progress of science shows that there are no miracles, right? I mean, in olden times, sure, people believed clearly in the idea of miracles because they didn't know the laws of nature. Thus, you will hear them, quote, because they didn't know the laws of nature, they believed in miracles. Thus, you will hear people say, well, the early Christians believed that Christ was the Son of the Virgin, but we all know that this is a scientific impossibility. Yeah, a moment's thought shows this to be a particularly striking example, because we remember from Luke that when St. Joseph discovered, and from Matthew, St. Joseph discovers that his fiancée is going to have a baby, and he is not the father, clearly, he decides to repudiate her, which completely makes sense, right? Most of the men in this room would do the same thing, wouldn't we? Right? Because we know, as every gynecologist knows, that we know what the ordinary course of nature with women is. But Joseph then later accepts his fiancée's pregnancy, that it wasn't due to unchastity, but was due to a miracle. He believed it. In fact, he believed it so firmly that he was willing to risk social ostracization and his own reputation and the reputation of his wife to embrace and take her and claim her as his own. And if Joseph believed it, and Jesus believed it, clearly he believed that his mother was a virgin when, by the Holy Spirit, he was conceived in her womb, her virgin womb. And really, two millennia of some of the most extraordinary historians, philosophers, theologians, scientists, statesmen, never doubted the purity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, not even once.
and the immaculate conception of her son, her firstborn son, that she wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, maybe we shouldn't either. Because sometimes God suspends the rules, doesn't he? But there are rules. So writes C.S. Lewis, and I, you know, ad-lib a bit there. But I agree with Lewis. There's a good reason why in the Magnificat, Mary's great hymn of birth, that she says, "For he who is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is his name." Right? The great things here, Luther writes, are nothing less than that she, Mary, became the mother of God. The word there is Theotokos in the Greek, the God-bearer. And this is in the Luther Confessions twice, by the way, so I'm not being an Orthodox or a Roman Catholic when I say that. It's actually in the Lutheran Confessions twice. And this is the title given to Mary at the Council of Ephesus in 431. That she is the one who bears God. As some of my professors in seminary once said, that you know her womb became like the Holy of Holies, literally, because God's presence dwelt there, just as the Ark of the Covenant dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the temple before that. But to go on in quoting Luther, the great things are nothing less than she became the mother of God, in which work so many and such good things are bestowed on her as to pass man's understanding. For on this there follows all honor, all blessedness, and her unique place in the whole of mankind. Right? Unique means there's no other person like her, among which she has no equal, namely that she had a child by our Father who art in heaven, and that such a child, she herself, is unable to find a name for this work. It is too exceedingly great, Luther writes, so she can do no more than break into a fervent song. They are great things, impossible to define or describe. Hence, she is called the Mother of God, unquote. And yet, according to Jesus, her son, the greatest thing that happened to his mother was not that she became the mother through an immaculate conception of the Messiah, the second person of the Holy Trinity in flesh. That's not the greatest miracle that happened to Mary, according to Jesus. And he should know, right? He's God the Word. He's the Logos of God. He's the Word of God made flesh. Because in today's Gospel lesson in Luke 11, we read how a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But Jesus said to her, more than that, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it!" Exclamation point. Pretty neat, huh? Blessed are those who hear the word of God. Shema, O Israel, right? Hear the word of God and keep it. According to Augustine, when he was preaching on this same text, he said that Mary was more blessed in accepting the faith of Christ, which Luther agrees with, which Jesus agrees with, right? To someone who said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you," he replied, "Rather, blessed are the words of God who hear the words of God and keep them." Because the word for hearing, akouo and shema in Hebrew, they both mean to hear in order to do them, right? We don't just hear God's word and acknowledge that sounds hit our eardrums, but we hear them in order to implement them into our life, to obey them. Hearing God's word without the intention of obedience is not faith. No. No, when she says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you," Ephraim the Syrian observes that God took the blessedness from the one who bore him, that is Mary, and gave it to those who worshipped him. It was with Mary for a certain time, and it was in her womb, but it would be for those who worship Jesus for eternity. And that's why Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And Ephraim's right, so is Augustine. Especially as Jesus. So therefore, when Jesus says, "More important, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it," Jesus is not denying the blessedness of Mary in being the one who is the God-bearer. The word is used correctly. What you have said, Jesus is saying, is true as far as it goes. But the blessedness of Mary consists in the fact that she shares in the blessedness of those who hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, Jesus is the Messiah to his mother as much as he's the Messiah to us. This is awesome. It's just really amazing. Right? And that's why Jesus ends today's gospel lesson about demons and exorcism, you know, but I dealt with that last week, so I'm not going to go into depth on it today. You know, with blessed is those who hear the word of God and keep it. Right? And what I think is really amazing about Christ's words ending today's gospel lesson is just that you and I have access to the same blessedness that Mary receives if we will simply hear God's word and keep it. For in Jesus' words, we know we have eternal life. Yes, it is through God's word, through Jesus Christ, God the Word, that we understand clearly who our Savior, who our kinsman redeemer, our Goel is, and the great things he has done for us. Right? How he has saved us by grace through faith and not of our own works. How he has driven out the demonic from our lives through the waters of holy baptism. That's the reason why in Luther's rite of holy baptism, which we use in this parish, not once but twice, we say, "Depart, thou unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit." Right? Our house is swept clean by Christ and put in order, and the evil is driven from us in baptism as we are born again of water and the Spirit. What a miracle. What a miracle that all that is evil, like the old world, is drowned in the flood of God's forgiveness as it pours from his riven side in floods of water and blood. Yes, it drowns that old world of sin and death and unbelief and the devil. And we know through holy baptism that we have the blessedness of eternal salvation given to us by pure grace. And we also taste this forgiveness as we come to Christ's altar, because we are born again through water and spirit, and we kneel there at that altar and we open our mouths to taste the forgiveness of sins given to us through the body and blood of Christ under those precious veils of bread and wine. So wonderful. And as we eat and as we drink Christ's body and blood given for us sinners to eat and drink, we know, as Paul said to the Romans in chapter 5, that we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. And therefore we are to walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit.
Lord be with you. O Lord Jesus, receive these gifts to the service and I will turn the preaching of thy holy gospel. In your name, O Lord, we pray, amen. It's really great to see you all here today. It's a great blessing to have you here, and I hope you're being blessed by the word and soon by the sacraments as well. I know you will be by those. Just to note the blue news for this week, normal schedule. Wednesday, just want to reiterate that we do have a matins at, in the morning, a service called Matins in the Morning at 11 a.m., and then normal catechism confirmation in the evening, and then an evening service called Vespers, which is a prayer and preaching service for those who are unfamiliar with that, but you know, most of you are familiar with, I think. And then also on Thursdays, we have, if you're unable to make either those midweek services, we have another service at Concordia, and just on the north side of Fairhope in Montrose at 6:30 as well. So we have an evening prayer service there. So you are welcome to come to that if you can't make the Wednesdays, because I know 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. is early for some of us because of getting off and commuting and things. So that's good. And then just note the other things in the blue news. We still have people signing up for the sausage dinner, and Concordia has their ladies doing their Easter boxes, and there's not a contact number there, but if you need the call there, I can give that to you after service, or just come to a Wednesday or Thursday service there too. We can organize that as well. And then a couple prayer requests. One is for Tony Gallardi, who he's saying he's got a lot of physical issues, and I don't fully understand them, but there's a lot of prayer chain stuff going on through Concordia yesterday evening regarding him. He's having some trouble, so keep Tony in your prayers. Most of y'all know Tony Gallardi. And then also a prayer request by Aaron Bird in this service for peace and comfort for the families of Artie Highnote, Chris Motes, and Ronnie Birch, all died last week. So we'll pray for those who mourn for all three. The Lord be with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the peace that is from above and for the well-being of the churches of Christ and the godly unity of all Christendom. Let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For Matthew and Eric, our shepherds and bishops in Christ, for all pastors and teachers and all people, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and all our people, for our president and Congress, our governor and the legislature of Alabama, for our judges and magistrates and all who serve in public office, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those who are in need and distress, for the homebound and the infirm, especially we pray this day for Alice and Woody and Clois, for Tony and Kathy, for T and Jim, Deborah and Art and Melissa, Becca and Joyce, for Mary and Mark, for Eddie and Norma and Kim and Suzette. We also pray for Bonnie and Shirley, for Chris and Elmer, Sugar and Janice, for Taylor and Melissa, Tara and Melissa, Gray and Bob and Meredith and James, for George and Larry Dean, for Earl, Suzette and Bob and Mallory, for Mark and Hank and Jay and Tracy, Michelle and Carl, Jimmy and Tina, Ainsley and Kevin, Ron and Jesse, Theo and Eaton and Waylon and Ryan. And we pray, Heavenly Father, also for those families of our parish who mourn, especially the Rogers and Tatum families, the Faust and Callie's family, the Todd family, the Bolton, Grice, and Heil family. We pray, also pray for those in our who are in our armed forces, including Riley, Paul, Hayden, Paul, and William. And we also pray for all of our university students, including Minnie and Aiden, Jacob, and Kelsey, and Mia. We pray also, Heavenly Father, for those to whom death is drawing near and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we may depart this life in the confidence of the sure faith, the consolation of a right, devout, and holy hope, and in the communion of Christ's holy church. Let us pray to the Lord. Recalling those who've gone before us in the faith and rejoicing to share with them the Sabbath rest which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment and rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray especially this day for those who mourn the death of Artie Highnote and Chris Motes and Rodney Birch. Have compassion, O Lord, upon all who mourn because of the death of Artie and Chris and Rodney. Be thou their comforter and friend. Give unto them such earthly solace as thou seekest to be best for them, and bring them to a fuller knowledge of thy love, and wipe away all their tears for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.